start the podcast. We're almost ready to start.
Pre-record to be listened to at your convenience. It's the Two Jews and a Gay Podcast.
Ready for this half episode. And, of course, Spencer Yasmin.
Is it alarming that I might have a cyst under both my feet now from playing basketball?
Well, it's better than having a cyst on your testicles.
No. Thank you. Good point.
I'm always there trying to, you know, paint a rosier picture.
If you ever need someone to check your balls out again, you know, Brian's the guy for you, Spencer.
Brian?
That is true.
Let's do this. I'll buy you a plane ticket.
You have big shoes to fill because there are... LA is littered with people that Jeremy and I know who have very impressive balls. So,
big balls or great balls?
Both.
Oh, fantastic. Mr. Millennium, for instance?
We don't discuss those attributes, honestly.
Me. Sorry.
Yeah, respect boyfriend.
Yeah, sorry. Respect the boyfriend.
Sorry, Mr. Millennium.
This is a 0.5 episode of Two Jews in a Gay, where we are going to do a little mini episode focusing on... the summer movie season. Specifically, this episode is going to be talking about The Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio. Spencer, you and I both saw it, correct?
That is correct.
Jeremy did not. He opted not to be whisked away by Baz Luhrmann, and I can't necessarily fault him for that because he's an acquired taste.
I did read the book in high school.
And do you know how it ends?
Not happily, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. But before we get into the topic of The Great Gatsby and Leonardo DiCaprio's acting career, I have been persuaded by Jeremy and Spencer, against my better judgment, to try out the wrestling roundup again.
So yes! Jeremy, yes! 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 Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please, 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 please.
Jeremy, hit the music.
The Wrestling Roundup with Spencer Yasmin and Jeremy Kotz.
All right. Just like last time, I have a question for those. You know, I don't really know much about wrestling. I know our audience, because they're more cultured than Jeremy and Spencer, don't know much about wrestling.
It's wrestling.
Wrestling.
It's not fake.
So,
allegedly.
I do have a question that I'm hoping you guys can provide some insight for us and, you know, open us up a little to your world. So here goes. In the history of the world of the WWE, there has always been jobbers, which are wrestlers who always lose in an effort to promote the rising star. This goes back to the 90s, evidently, with such wrestlers as Doink the Clown and the Brooklyn Brawler. The current jobbers today in the WWE consists of the Long Island Iced Z Zack Ryder and the Punjab Giant, the Great Khali. Currently, there is a faction jobber group, however, known as the Three-Man Band, which contains the one-man rock band Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre. Jeremy and Spencer, who is your favorite jobber of all time?
Spencer, hands down, it has to be Rick the Model Martel. Never has such a good wrestler lost so many times.
Well, that's a good one. I'm not going to argue with that, but I really like Virgil. He was a servant of Ted DiBiase, and this guy's whole job was just get his ass kicked in defense of protecting Ted DiBiase.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. That's all I can handle. That's all our audience can handle, and we need to move on.
And now, a Two Jews and a Gay original production from The Vault. Each week, one movie previewed, its lead actor analyzed with heavy action and groundbreaking drama, out of this world science fiction, hilarious comedy, and spicy romance. Now, sit back, relax, and grab some popcorn for Installment 2.0, The Great Gatsby, starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
So The Great Gatsby was released last Friday and actually did really decent box office. I think it surprised a lot of people. It was on the upper level of most industry experts' expectations. Like I said earlier in the episode, I've seen it. Spencer's seen it. What did you think of the movie overall, Spencer?
I enjoyed it. You know, I went with a bunch of guys, even the voice of the voiceless leader, Greg. He wasn't such a fan, but I enjoyed it.
I get the sense that Aaron, he's not a fan of most things. It's Greg, right?
Greg.
I get Greg and Aaron mixed up a lot of the time because I never actually have talked to Greg yet.
Oh. Well, just, and they both don't like you. So.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, Joe Orlando doesn't like you either. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I think Orlando is actually kind of sweet on me personally, but so let me just, I don't want to have the mistake of calling Greg Aaron.
Oh,
so
God
let me
forbid,
just say,
no.
Yeah.
They both were in the same fraternity, but as I was about to say, I enjoyed the movie. I thought Leo was fantastic. I thought he did a great job. There were some things I didn't like. Tobey Maguire, you know, he's never really wowed me as an actor. I think he's very limited, to be fair, the fairest way to say it. He's a limited actor. I mean, there was one scene where he gets so angry at some photographers, and he, like, screams like a little boy. And it's almost like if I was one of the photographers, he's, like, yelling at them to get out of the house, but he screams like a boy. And I feel like if I was one of the photographers, I would have just, like, broke down laughing because it was so humorous. Like, this was him trying to, like, in a serious moment, and he just couldn't rise to the occasion. And I also thought that Carey Mulligan girl, I don't know what the big deal with her is. I don't think she's a good actress at all. I think she probably went to some theater school, and she thinks she's a master of the arts, a student of the arts. But she never seemed engaged in the movie. And outside of those two, I thought it was a great movie, though. I thought the villain was very good in it. I thought Leo was good. And I really like the imagery used in the movie and the soundtrack. I thought the music was good. And just the design, the set designs were really good.
So you would actually recommend that Jeremy go see this, or can he just reread the book?
No, I think he should definitely see it. I think Jeremy likes Leo like I do. I mean, I know we'll talk a little bit more later about Leonardo DiCaprio, but I mean, I think he really rose to the occasion in this movie. I think he really sold it as this kind of mysterious millionaire, however much money he has. But he really sold it as like a person that has a great wealth, but you don't know what he's doing with the money. You don't really know his backstory. I mean, he's just a great actor, and I think this is one of those occasions where you can say like he carried the movie. It was a lot of Tobey Maguire, but he really carried the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio, in the scenes that he had.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on the movie are basically that I'm going to focus a little bit more on the kind of the mood of the movie. I think Baz Luhrmann does a really great job with whatever movie he is directing about kind of putting his visual impression on the film. And it's definitely, you walk into that movie and you definitely know who directed that movie from the first frame. It's really, it's well-intentioned chaos is kind of the best way to describe it. There's a lot of things going on, and, you know, obviously they want to create an over-the-top view of the 1920s, despite some people's obvious jokes. I was not actually born in the 20s. I don't have any first-hand knowledge of the 20s, but I understand that there was a lot of, you know, that kind of...
Well, you know, Jay-Z was around in the 20s, right?
As the movie yeah, of course. There's a lot of over-the-top excess. So I think he really kind of captured that and kind of turned the dial up even louder to really showcase that. As far as Leonardo DiCaprio goes, I thought he did a great job. I mean, there were the one most ridiculous scene that I saw in the whole movie was when you actually first see him, his first like visual in the movie. He turns around, and I swear to God, he looks constipated. And what I mean by that is he looked a lot like Spencer.
I second that. He definitely had the constipation look. I know what that look is. I felt sorry for him.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. I'm curious, because on Rotten Tomatoes, it's at, I think, a 40%. I've talked to a few people
who
haven't liked it. I'm surprised to hear you guys liked it, because most of the people I've talked to didn't like it. Why do you think it's not being well-received?
Well, I didn't... I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. There is the... a lot of people view movies as some sort of... through some sort of absolute prism, like, you know, a movie's either good or it's bad. And I disagree with that kind of view of movie criticism, because you have to look at what the movie was trying to accomplish and how successful it was at accomplishing that. And what his movies generally try to do is, you know, use huge over-the-top visuals and kind of interlace that a lot of that with music and over-the-top choreography to create this kind of mood. Moulin Rouge had a mood, and he does that very, very well. So for the purposes of what he was trying to do with it, I think it was a success. Was it? Is it going to make like my top 10 list of 2013? No, I don't think it was a phenomenal movie. But do I think he was successful at the very least trying to convey what he was trying to convey? And I think he was.
And this movie is not like Romeo and Juliet that he made years ago. It's not over the top like that. And that was one thing I was like kind of debating, if like, oh, if it's going to be like that, I'm not sure if I'm going to like it. It was much more grounded. There's some elaborate scenes here and there, but it's not like you're on ecstasy throughout the movie. I mean, that's, I felt like Romeo and Juliet was supposed to be like everyone's drugged up throughout the movie. It wasn't like that at all. I just think, I think why people aren't taking to it, Jeremy, is because it's not really an elaborate story. It's really just a basic story of, you know, a rich dude in love with a rich girl married to a evil rich dude. I mean, it's like the common person is just like can't relate to it, and it's not like we give a shit type thing. I think that's the mentality for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think he's hamstrung a bit by the fact that the source material is very limited. I mean, F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote a very interesting novel for the time that he wrote it. But if you look at it now as terms of like a lot of plot, really think about it. What the hell happens in The Great Gatsby? There's not a lot that really happens. Somebody gets run down in a car. Ultimately, that's what happens. And it's about, you know, 200 additional pages of exposition just to get us to the point where someone gets run down by a car. So, you know, you can only do so much when you're, you know, creating a movie based off a book where not much happens.
But I think we can all agree upon the fact that, and I'm surprised I'm saying this, but Warner Brothers or whoever did the marketing did a great job. I mean, they really sold the film.
Nailed it.
Absolutely.
Double nailed it.
I think it's a good time, though, to head over and talk about Leonardo DiCaprio's career in general and see how do we think, you know, he clearly, in my mind, has become, through the past, you know, decade or so, just one of the most consistently bankable actors. And I think it's because he chooses really smart roles. He didn't make a lot of the mistakes that some people around his age did, which is they kind of had some success in some earlier films, and then they went like the big budget blockbuster action kind of thing, and he's just not an action star. There's just no way he would be laughed off the stage or off the screen if he tried to do a a role with The Rock, for example. It would just be ridiculous.
You take that back.
So I just think he's been very, very smart with his film selections, and I think that's paid dividends for him.
Definitely. And you know, one thing for me, the reason I think Leo is, you know, such a great actor is because he's one of the biggest movie stars in the world, but yet every film he's in, I don't see Leonardo DiCaprio. I see his character. You know, take someone like Mark Wahlberg for me. Every movie Mark Wahlberg's in, I see Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, man. Now you did it, Jeremy.
He's going to come after me. But let's be honest. Even that guy, what's his name? That new guy, Channing Tatum, who everyone's, he's like the new hot young thing in Hollywood. I see Channing Tatum. I'm never going to see him playing whatever role he is. So, Spencer, how do you feel about Leo?
I'm a huge fan. I think he, kind of like you're saying about his character, he becomes the character. You don't really see Leo in the movie. And he just, he does so many challenging projects, you know. I mean, I go back to it all the time. I love, Inception is one of my favorite movies of all time. And he was the guy for that movie. He was perfect for it. I've read things that originally it was offered to Will Smith, and I just think how different that movie would have been if Will Smith was the guy. Because it would have been all about Will Smith. It would, you know what I mean? Like, Leo just...
It would have been a lot of scenery chewing.
Like, exactly. Leo just fit in that movie. He blended in perfectly, and he was, like, great. I mean, it just... And then, you know, I go back a couple years earlier when he did The Departed. It's like another ensemble cast. He's the main actor in an ensemble cast, but it's like he doesn't have to be bigger than everybody. He fits in perfectly with his scenes with Jack Nicholson, even with Mark Wahlberg, Jeremy's favorite actor. And then also that summer, I mean, that was really the summer of Leo. He did The Departed, and he did Blood Diamond. And I think Blood Diamond really doesn't get its due. I think he should have been – I don't know if he was nominated for Best Actor. He might have been, but, I mean, I think he was a great – he had a great performance in Blood Diamond. Like, he just – was very commanding, and he had a great chemistry with does anyone know how to say his name? Demijew Houston? He had a great chemistry on screen with him. So I just think, like Jeremy said, Leo, very selective in his roles, but he takes challenge, he takes risk. There's so many actors that just don't take the risk, and you have to reward a guy like that who he's very selective, but at the results are there.
I agree.
Now, Brian, do you still do you find his sex appeal still there? Because, you know, a lot of people I've talked to is Leo used to be the heartthrob, and you don't kind of hear that as much anymore.
Well, here's the thing. For me, honestly, he never really did much for me from a pure, like, heartthrob sex appeal standpoint. And if anything, he's got a little puffier as he's aged, which, you know, we all do. So no harm, no foul there. But I think he's been, you know, he's been wise to not try to rest on that kind of heartthrob mentality, because, you know, Hollywood is littered with, you know, teen heartthrobs that didn't make it as with an actual career, and he has been, like, very smart. And I want to keep on coming back to that theme. He's a very smart business person. He's a very smart actor. He knows what roles to take and which ones to avoid. And I think that kind of selectiveness in Hollywood is rare and should be really commended.
He didn't avoid The Beach, though.
I didn't think The Beach was that bad. Is that a debate?
You know, sometimes you still gotta, you know, you still gotta pay the rent, Jeremy.
The Beach was not good. Don't get me wrong. It was not a good movie, but it was an interesting concept. Like, I found myself, like, wanting to see it, you know what I mean? Because it was like, that's unique. Like, these people go to an island to escape civilization. It was kind of cool. But Jeremy, what's your favorite Leo movie from, let's say, the 90s?
All right, give me one second, guys. Sorry, I don't.
He's been a
big
sport.
I know.
Brian,
what's
your favorite movie?
No, I'll come in a second. Because I was actually gonna say, cause I'm gonna say a movie that you guys, that not many people I think liked, but okay, so. You said from the 90s. Well, actually, I'm going to jump ahead to the 2000s, Spencer, because
a movie
of his that I really liked that a lot of people I don't think were crazy about was Shutter Island, another movie where he plays a conflicted character. He's very sad. You don't see him as Leo. You see him as this really sad character, and I thought he was great in that movie.
Brian?
You guys, Have you guys not seen Shutter Island?
I have not seen Shutter Island.
I haven't either.
So I really can't. Oh, okay, sorry.
All right, well, let me.
No, it's fine. I'll transition. I'll go Brian, and then, you know.
Actually,
that's fine.
If that's a movie you like, Jeremy, you don't have to, like, backtalk.
Yeah, but no one's seen it.
I'll transition to Brian. And Brian, what about you?
Well, you know, from the 90s, I think, you know, maybe I'm just a big girl and a soft spot for Leo, but, and maybe it's my love of Celine Dion, but for me, it begins and ends with Titanic. It was a great role for him. I still think that Rose should have, scooched over a little bit at the end and given
no
him
time.
Some of that headboard.
No time.
You know, she could have, saved him if her fat ass would have lost a little weight.
Well, that's a good point. I think going way back, I really liked The Basketball Diaries. I thought that was a cool movie. And once again, Jeremy's favorite actor, Mark Wahlberg, was in it.
Scandalous movie.
It was cool. It was just cool, though. It was, like, very edgy. You know, when you're a kid, you're, like, 11 years old. Brian's, like, 35 years old at that time. It's very – it's interesting. It's just like, whoa. Like, I've never been – I like basketball, and I've never been exposed to, like, this dark side of it. It was kind of cool. Jeremy, did you ever see that movie?
I did. Didn't he blow a guy in it?
He certainly did.
That's
what I'm saying.
Was he a head actor?
Very edgy. Very, very edgy. And as far as the 2000s go, this movie didn't do huge in the box office, but I believe it was by the same writer who did The Departed. It was Body of Lies. I thought that was a cool movie. It was with Russell Crowe. He's kind of like a CIA-type spy, and I forgot what country he was in, but it was very – he might have been in Iraq. I'm not sure, but it was very edgy, like – the final 30 minutes, like, it's he gets tied up, he gets kidnapped. It's just, like, the whole thing is, like, very – it's intense, and I thought he was really good in it.
Sounds like you have a little S&M fetish for Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm going to go watch Basketball Diaries tonight, actually.
Hey, guys, give me one second. Hold on one second. I'm going to say something. I'm just trying to pull it up. Internet's slow. Okay. 54%. Give me one second.
You might miss your
counter for Spencer. Okay. Oh, and then, hey, Brian, by the way, Body of Lies got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Basketball Diaries got a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
They do not like having Leonardo DiCaprio blow guys, and that's just sad.
And Daredevil got a 45%.
What did Titanic get?
100%.
Damn.
All right, Brian.
And
I
saw that together, by the way.
We did, and we saw Man in the Iron Mask together the weekend. His next big movie.
That might have been his. That might have been his fault. I'll have to take.
That was pretty bad.
That was bad.
But Brian, the question that our audience wants to know is Leonardo DiCaprio gay or straight?
I'm pretty sure he's straight, isn't he? I mean, I honestly, I don't know. There's not a lot of paparazzi around him. He kind of falls off the grid a little bit between movies, so. I haven't seen a lot of him on TMZ or People Magazine or whatever, so I don't have any real good information, but I think the assumption I make, and I think most people make, is straight until proven gay.
Like Spencer and I.
Yes. Well, you guys did see Titanic together. I'm going to guess that whoever bought the tickets got a little something extra on the ride home.
You know, it wasn't probably till like the fourth hour of that movie till we like looked around and realized, like, man, there's like a ton of girls crying in this movie, and why are we missed out on a perfect date night with someone. Then we realized we haven't been dating any girls at this point in our life.
Long,
you guys did not miss
nights.
Out on a perfect date night. You were having the perfect date night.
True, true. I'll remember it this day, and I still want my $10
always
back.
All right. I think we've kind of given Leonardo our best, and I think it's time to kind of wrap things up for this mini episode. We do want to let people know we have some exciting guests scheduled for future episodes of the podcast, including Jeremy's latest fling, Sumi.
Sumi? 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 Sumi?
And Mr. December, he will be joining.
And Mr. San Francisco, Dan Rosenbaum. Let's not forget him.
I thought he was forever banned by Spencer.
He's started listening, so he's back on.
Well, and to be fair, he's going to Austin with us. We need to get some questions in for him. So he's got 5 minutes.
Oh, we are looking forward to having Mr. San Francisco on as well. And just for full disclosure, I have not slept with Mr. San Francisco.
But you'd like to.
No comment. But
he's flustered.
For Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasbin, I'm Brian Martinson, and catch us next time.